Well, hello, Mark Rogers here, Common Thoughts of Christ. And wanted to start a little series here. Woke up this morning and it was probably 2 years ago. I took up the book of Jeremiah on my own, reading it through. And in doing so, reading it from a moral perspective. And that was my time of quiet COVID. And it's a blessing it was really a blessing to read through Jeremiah. There's just so much that jumps out along the way. Anyway, recently here in our local little assembly, we're taking up Jeremiah as well. And we're just getting started in this. And I thought, it'd be nice to be able to kind of put this into a little bit of a podcast. Enjoy, and I'm going to read from, there's not a whole lot of writers that write on Jeremiah. Arno Gabelein is one that was referred to me, and I've been really enjoying that. So my intention is to read, as we go through here, a snippet or two from the chapter, and then read a little bit of Gabelein as well. The reason why Jeremiah is so important for today is because, well, first off, right now when I'm recording this, Israel's going through the biggest war in 33 decades, 4 decades, 5 decades or something right now. They're being attacked. But that's not necessarily so. This applies to us as well. And what I mean by that is God has got a message that he's passing through Jeremiah to his earthly people at that time. Well, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a heavenly man, heavenly citizen. But this still applies. It still applies to every single individual on this planet right now, whether someone is saved in Christ or unsaved. And so the message as we go through Jeremiah would be very helpful, because even though I've been able to know the Lord as my Savior for 40 years, why, there are things that Jeremiah is relating from God that are strictly smiting my heart. And I figured, well, maybe others would enjoy this as well. So with that, let's get into it. Let's read a little bit of the first chapter of Jeremiah. And just to give some background here, Jeremiah is going to be ministering and to the people of God for 40 years, at the very end of the decline of Israel. So if you're wanting to track him, he's sitting behind the scenes a little bit at the end of 2 Kings, okay, and also 2 Chronicles. But that's the snippet as Judah is into the decline here, in a big way, spiraling down. That's when Jeremiah is asked to speak by Jehovah. And that's important, because they were in their waning, blinking hours of their, basically God was putting them, going to put them out into, send them off to Babylon and, you know, 30, 40 years from then. And he's prophesying this. And the thing is repentance is the topic here, repentance. And they, as the people, were caught up with things that today you and I are caught up with. And there's still the entrapments today. And God wants our heart, all right? And so with that, that's kind of the background. So Jeremiah is going to oversee four different kings of Israel, the final four, if you will. And he is going to have to go up against all of the prophets, I'm putting that in quotes, because, and as we go through here too, and you realize the prophets recognize the fact that we have prophets today, and so we'll go through that as we go along. We can identify prophets that we have today in our modern society, and yet the word of the Lord is coming through a prophet here that is God's servant. And it is God's word, and so it's important to see that. Okay, so that's kind of the background on Jeremiah. So let's read a few snippets of the first chapter. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were on Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the Lord word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. So there we go. You got the, he's coming in on Josiah, and you can pick him up in 2 Kings. So in the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. So there you got the kings listed there exactly in that order. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. And so what's beautiful about that is if you're a young person listening, recognize the fact that God can tap you on the shoulder and says, I've got a place for you. And he does have a place for you. It's just a matter of listening to his voice. And his voice may not come straight up out of the way. And, you know, we see Daniel, you know, Daniel is actually a contemporary here of a little bit. He followed a little later on. But, you know, if you're a young person and Daniel was a young person, Esther was a young person, et cetera, God comes in and uses you. But the thing is, don't rush into it. God will find a time and a place to use you. Just be ready to go with it. But here we read, too, where he says, do not say I am a youth. No, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Well, I will say, and I've said this to my children as well, is God is going to have a place for every one of us as we move forward here, and it's become very evident as this scene grows darker that youth who are trusting in the Lord, crying out to him, as what we're going to see with Jeremiah, that is who's going to be used. It's a beautiful thing. God's word needs to be going forth, but it needs to be his word and not my word. Just moving on, Jeremiah gives a little complaint to the Lord, and the Lord says, don't do that. Then it says in verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root up, to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Boy, isn't that something when the Lord can put his hand on your mouth? You know, that reminds me, too, of Isaiah, right? Isaiah chapter 6. When we're in the presence of the Lord, oftentimes we find, well, not oftentimes, all the time. When you see these men of God and these women of God in the presence of the Lord, you see absolute prostrateness, right? Isaiah in chapter 6, he's caught up to the heavens and he sees God in all his splendor. And he says, ah, I'm a man of unclean lips. He finds himself there. But God has a way of taking the tongs off the altar and touching him to his lips. And so God can take you and use you, but first he has to touch our lips. And that's what he's doing here with Jeremiah, right? It says here in verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. And this would lead to the fact of memorization and getting a hold of the scripture when you're young. It is important to get a hold of the scriptures and know the scriptures, because that's what's going to be the guiding part. That is what needs to be told forth. All righty. Well, that is some of the first things I wanted to do. This is not going to be an exposition of the scriptures verse by verse. But I'll just read in verse 17 here. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day. Get a hold of it. If you're a young person, recognize that God has a purpose. He has a purpose for Jeremiah, and he also has a purpose for you. We just don't know what it is maybe right now, but he has a purpose, because we read earlier that he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. So therefore, prepare yourself and arise, and speak to them that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city and an iron pillar and brass walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against its princes, against its priests, and against the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to deliver you. Well, isn't that quite the promise? It's a beautiful, beautiful promise. And so let's get into Gabaline here now and see exactly a few more choice nuggets from what he picks up here in the first chapter. Okay, so this is the commentary of Jeremiah from Arnold Gabaline. You can look this up over on Kindle, and we'll continue on with it here, commentary on Jeremiah. But when we come on down here, just to bring up a couple points here, it says, this book, which bears the prophet's name, abounds in personal allusions. In fact, no other prophet in his character, in the exercise of his soul, and the experience is so fully portrayed as Jeremiah. Not even Ezekiel and Daniel, whom when Habakkuk and Zephaniah were his contemporaries, the study of this great man is deeply interesting. He has been called the weeping prophet and is generally known by that name. No other prophet wept like Jeremiah. That outburst in his lamentations, quote out of Lamentations 1:16, for these things I weep, mine eye runneth down with water. Shows how tender-hearted he was and how his tears flowed freely. But he was something else besides the weeping prophet. He was a man of great courage. With the boldness of a lion, in the presence of his Lord, he was prostrate and broken, one of who trembled at his word, filled with godly fear. He was a man of great of power, a prayer, and faith in the Lord, and faithful in the discharge of his great commission. His lot was one of great solitude. He was divinely commanded to remain unmarried, chapter 16, verse 2. He was forbidden to enter the house of joy and feasting, chapter 16, verse 8. Reproach and derision were his daily portion, chapter 20, verse 8. He was betrayed by his own kindred, chapter 12, verse 6. And his fellow citizens at Anathoth wanted to kill him, chapter 11, 21. Then in the first part of the book, we read of the inner struggles he had, the spiritual conflict when everybody was against him. In the bitterness of his spirit, he spoke of himself as, quote, a man of contention to the whole earth, chapter 15, verse 10. He even doubted whether his whole work was not a delusion and a lie, chapter 20, verse 7. And like Job, he cursed the day of his birth, chapter 20, verse 14. When the Chaldeans came in the front and Jeremiah heard from the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar was called as his servant to receive the dominion from his hands, Jeremiah urged submission. This stamped him as a traitor. False prophets appeared who contradicted him with their false messages. He committed his cause to the Lord. On one occasion, when the temple courts were filled with thousands of worshipers, he appeared and uttered the message that Jerusalem would be a curse and the temple should share the fate of the tabernacle of Shiloh, chapter 26, verse 6. Then the great conflict began. The priests, the false prophets, and the people demanded his death, chapter 26, 8. The Lord graciously protected him through chosen instruments. Still greater were his sufferings under Zedekiah. That's one of the kings of Israel. His struggles with the false prophets continued. They called him a madman, chapter 29, verse 26. And urged him imprisonment. And then he then appeared on the streets of Jerusalem with bonds and yokes upon his neck, chapter 27, verse 2, showing him the fate of Judah. A false prophet broke the offensive symbol and gave a line message that the Chaldeans should be destroyed within 2 years. Then the Egyptian army approached, and the Chaldeans hastened away. It created a dangerous condition for Jeremiah. He sought to escape to his hometown, Anathoth. It was discovered, and he was charged with falling to the Chaldeans as others did. Chapter 37, verse 14. In spite of his denial, he was thrown into a dungeon. Later, he was thrown into the prison pit by the princes to die there. From that horrible fate, he was again mercifully delivered. When the city fell, Nebuchadnezzar protected his person. Chapter 39, verse 11. And after being carried away with other captives as far as Ramah, he set him free. It was left to him whether he would go to Babylon to live under the special protection of the king or remain in the land with the governor of Gedaliah. He chose the latter. But Gedaliah was murdered by Ishmael and his associates. Then the people forced him to immigrate with them to Egypt. The last glimpse of the prophet's life we have of him is in Tophonies, uttering there a final protest and a great message. Nothing is known of the details of his death. Well, I hope that kind of gives you an understanding. This is going to be a very lively book. And yet, God, throughout the book, is appealing, trying to appeal to the heart of the people. And it really brings us really close to home today. This moral application is very great. And so I hope that kind of gives a little taste as we crack open Jeremiah, take up the first chapter a little bit, read some of the comments from Gabeline. And so we'll continue next time. And as with any kind of readings, why I always encourage everybody to go through and try to read the scriptures ahead of time. And I listen to it as a personal thing. I listen to it audibly. Bible.com is a great place to pull that down. And in doing so, I listen to it. I may repeat a chapter again and again to get a hold of what is being said. Let the Spirit of God use that. So those are just some of the things that are so beautiful as we launch into the book of Jeremiah. And I hope it becomes it's as much of a joy for you as it has been for me as we go through that. So, and I welcome comments along the way too, right? It's always so beautiful to have others comment on things along the way. So, yeah, so with that, I will let you go, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. Next time, as we take up Jeremiah chapter 2, and I get so excited going through this again. I've taken lots of notes, and it's spoken to me, and I hope it is able to enjoy along the way.